I'm going to take you through a journey about me and my life, and then I'm going to introduce you to some of my friends. Some of the people that I collaborate with, some of the people that I create with, and some of the people that I just bounce ideas off of. I want to invite you into my head, my space, my work, my creativity, and also my network. I'm your friend Sally, and that's why my podcast is called My Friend Sally. And I'm a producer by trade. Welcome to another episode of My Friend Sally's podcast. In today's episode, I sit down with my friend Matthew Gallagher. Matthew is the founder and creative director of House of Gallagher and is a Canadian-born, Italian-trained designer and artist. The episode starts by talking about our friendship, and then we learn about Matthew's journey as a fashion designer and his experiences within the fashion industry in Europe and in Canada. We talk about design and illustration and what it means to be a thoughtful designer. It's with great pleasure that I can introduce you to my friend, Matthew Gallagher. Okay, and we're live. So, Matt Gallagher, thank you so much for joining today. Where are you joining from?
I am joining you from my parents' house in Nova Scotia.
Wonderful. So I'm going to just like start with the questions that I've prepared. I think the first one is, how do we know each other, and describe the first day or time that we met?
This could be dangerous. Well, it's funny because we've known each other for like what, like 15, 16 years. So the first meeting is like a little bit blurred to me because I don't know if it was like a party at my house or if it was that we met at Colin's house.
Yeah, I actually recall it being at your place, but yes. One of these theme parties that you used to throw back in the day.
Oh, yeah. So, like, we had one for, like, every holiday that existed.
Yes, yes. Let's keep this PG, though. This podcast needs to be PG.
No, your secrets are safe with me.
Okay, but tell me about the first time that we met. Describe that.
Well, I mean, this was around the time where I was drinking Bacardi Razz on the rocks. So, my recollection might be a little blurred. But I will say, however, like, the one that stands out in my... I think it was one of our first times meeting. It was Halloween, and we were at Colin's house, which was a friend who, oddly enough, was from, it's Crystal from RuPaul's Drag Race UK, which is kind of funny. He's done really well for himself, it seems.
Oh my God, yes. He has done really well for himself.
Like, I think it was your first time at Colin's house, and, you know, just trying to be polite and whatever, and you open up a bottle of, like, 7-Up or Sprite or something for a mixer, and it exploded and went up on the ceiling. Do you remember that?
I forgot. And it wasn't even his apartment. Like, he was renting this apartment, and I got like 7-Up or Sprite, and it went all over the ceiling and it stained the ceiling.
Yeah, that was so funny. And you were like so apologetic. It was probably so embarrassing for you at the time because like first time at someone's house and you make a bottle of pop explode. That was hilarious. And then I was just like, yeah, I like her.
But that's actually so typical of me. I am the clumsiest person.
And then I think we just kind of like, it just seems so natural. Like, I feel like I've known you like my entire life, which is weird. But yeah, we just kind of like hit it off instantly. And we've just kind of been like inseparable ever since. And just like family, really.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but you're the reason that I was into fashion.
Oh, really?
That's like, you're the reason that I wanted to get into the industry. Yeah. I remember you sitting me down one day and you showed me the job description of a retail buyer. And I had no idea what that was. And you were like, this is the job for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that actually.
But that was like the first spark, I would say.
Yeah, because I do remember you applying for jobs to different places, things like in Toronto and stuff like that, like because you had interest in getting into fashion. Yeah, that's funny. I that completely escaped my mind, but yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's, so you're the reason. Okay, let me ask you the next question. What is your medium or craft?
So I am trained as a fashion designer, and I mean, I do some illustrations on the side as of recently, but it's always been kind of like a hobby to me. But my main thing is fashion design with a focus in women's wear.
And how did you get started in that?
I kind of wanted to be in fashion. I didn't really know what it was, I think, when I was younger. Because I mean, I'm from a small town where like that job description is not even like a thing. So I didn't really know what it was. And it wasn't until I was about 16 that I kind of started figuring out that it could be a career path. And I ended up going to New York for a summer and did an internship and yeah, I wrote a letter to a bunch of different people in the industry, trying to hear back and get the internship was my goal. And one of the people I heard back from was Tom Ford. And that really ignited something in me like, oh my God, this person responded to me, like this little boy in, you know, rural Nova Scotia, someone sees something in my stuff. So yeah, that really ignited my path, I think. And then I kind of hopped around a little bit because I was accepted to Parsons originally, but at the time the exchange rate was horrible. It's like super expensive to study in the United States. And so I actually, by chance, ended up, after they had already started classes, going to NASCAD in Halifax, which is an art school. And that's, otherwise we would never have met. So it's kind of funny that everything really happens for a reason. And yeah, and then I bounced around from there because I felt like kind of nothing was equal to Parsons at that point. So I was like, I'm not really happy here. And then I went to Montreal. I wasn't really happy there. And then it wasn't until I went on a family trip to Europe for my 21st birthday that I saw a school in Milan. I came back in October and applied and moved the August. So it all happened really fast. And then from there, like that whole experience changed my life and got me on the path to where I am now.
I remember that. I remember you going on this trip with your family and like meeting with different schools, right? And then you applied from there and then you got in really quickly.
Yeah. My cousin at the time lived in Switzerland. So it was like, I kind of felt like, okay, well, I have somebody over there. Like it's not Italy. It's not in the country where I'd be going. But I had never been to Europe before. So obviously I didn't want to like apply for school over there. Plus that seemed like so far-fetched because like I know Canadians like often think it's just like such a huge step to go to Europe. Which, I mean, it is in a lot of cases, but really when like you can do it a lot more easily than people think.
Totally resonate with that because I don't know if it's like how we're taught or how we're educated or what it is, but I also thought, because I've been in Germany now for, I think, 8 years.
Wow.
Or
wow.
Nine, no, even more, I think 9 years. And yeah, I never even thought it was a possibility.
Yeah.
And the way that I got here was that it was just like someone recommended it. And I was like, yeah, cool. Look into a university here. And then that's kind of how it happened. But I agree with you. It's like we come from Canada. It's like this vast country, but we come from a pretty small province and a small city. And you come from a smaller town. Mm-hmm. And that was just not, I guess there was no one before us who really did it.
Are we trailblazers?
maybe. I don't know. But how long were you in Italy for?
I was in Italy for 5 years. So I moved there when I was 21. And really the only reason I came back to Canada was because I had an opportunity to show at, at the time was Toronto Fashion Week. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my only reason for really coming back. I was just doing an internship there, kind of not really related to fashion, but still in the creative field. And I just thought, well, you know, why not give it a shot and see how it goes.
And tell me about Fashion Week.
Well, that was a really exciting time for me. I mean, I was fresh out of school, so like literally did not know anything other than what they taught me. So it was like just like thrown right in. I like hit the ground running when I arrived. My ex-partner and I moved to Canada. And I want to say in the beginning of March, and the show was like on March 18th or 21st or something like that. So I had to do the collection in Italy. And then I brought it with me. And it was super exciting. It was obviously like school and everything was great. And because I like love working on a project and love to have something like to do, but having that, like all of your hard work, seeing it like actually on a runway with models, having press afterwards, like all of that stuff. It was like, that was all a first time experience for me. And I was like dying of nervousness. So yeah, that was really, really exciting for me. And it was definitely very motivating.
So I have to ask you, what was your proudest moment or what's your proudest piece in your portfolio?
I think for me, I wouldn't necessarily say it's like the piece itself. I think it's like kind of what happened and like how it went down. That was really exciting for me just because it was kind of like a milestone for me as far as having someone really important or like a celebrity essentially wearing something. And it was when I was reached out to by Lady Gaga's stylist. And at first I thought like, this is a hoax.
Totally. I wouldn't believe it either.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way I'm not going to send all these clothes to this place in New York without like, maybe I'll never see the clothes again. But then when they offered to pay shipping, I was like, okay, it's legit because it wasn't cheap to ship it. So that was the start of it. And then, so I sent the stuff and I really had no idea if she wore anything or not. Like they sent the stuff and then I think they sent it to her directly. And then checking Instagram every single day, like, oh my God, is she going to post something? Is she going to post something? Then one day I see she posts a picture and leaning against like a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or something. and she was wearing the dress that she borrowed from me. So that was super exciting. I don't know. It was a big deal. I mean, I'm from a small town, and to have someone of that like stature, like in the celebrity like universe, like, wearing something I actually made. Yeah, it was pretty exciting for me. So
that's a huge moment. And it's also pretty exciting that it's Lady Gaga, because she's known for wearing like very,
yeah,
she's very fashionable. And she's also known for wearing very like having very extreme looks. So people really look at her when it comes to like trends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let me ask you a follow-up question to that. And it's what motivates you?
I'm just like inspired by everything, to be honest. That might sound like pretty vague, but like definitely travel motivates me, because for me, like, I am not, let's say, the most inspired 24/7 in Canada, because I don't think we're necessarily that known for being like on the cutting edge of fashion or whatever and street style and this or that. But I'm also very, very inspired by like architecture and traditions and details like in an old house or something. And that we have plenty of. So that kind of motivates me around here. Like, there's plenty of things I've been inspired by in Nova Scotia and seeing this kind of rural life and like the juxtaposition to like kind of luxury women's wear and like how that could like coexist. And so like, you know, kind of everything in my vision and my sight can inspire me in some way. So I am lucky that that is the case. But yeah, I just tend to get kind of like fixated on something, whether it's like a style of architecture or like, I don't know, like fishermen or something like that. And I'll just get like fixated on it. And then I just researching and developing and figure out, is this something that I can actually make into something tangible that people will actually want to buy? And then as far as like being motivated to work and be a designer and stuff, it's just something that like brings me like happiness. So even if I wasn't making something, I still like drawing clothes and I still like coming up with ideas. Like, I'm always sketching out little ideas that I have and things like that. It's just constant for me. So I think it's just kind of instilled in me.
And I think that's a new medium that you've kind of been exploring more and more. I mean, you've always been sketching for your designs, but I really love the work that you've been doing lately with more of sketching. And so almost graphics, right? It's like...
Yeah, thank you. So... what my thought process behind that, it was like, there are so many like beautiful images and like cool works that by photographers and creative directors and whatever that I think should be celebrated. And there are plenty of Instagrams that are kind of like inspo-grams where you know have pictures that are just reposted of like a certain aesthetic or whatever. And so I think there's like plenty of that. And then I thought, okay, well, what can I do? Because as a designer, I don't typically like to repost things that, you know, can be mistaken for me trying to take credit for that work or something. And so I just thought, well, why wouldn't I just do like a kind of what other people are doing essentially with the reposting inspirational images to me, but why not illustrate them instead of just reposting the picture? And then it's something like a kind of creative outlet for me. And I have a little bit of creative liberty because I can do what I want as far as like how I want to adjust the picture, how creative I want to get with it, how abstract I want to get with it. And so that's just kind of been something that's been exciting for me and fun to do during this pandemic when you can't really do anything or go anywhere.
And you've been getting a lot of positive feedback, right? From brands and from creatives that you've been reposting their work. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was actually really great. I was doing it for like a very short time and I was reached out to by Antonioli, which is a store in Milan. And it's funny because when I was in school, me and my classmates, we used to go to the store, like this aspirational place, like, oh my God, these clothes are beautiful. Like, it's so cool. And like, obviously can't afford anything, but it was like just beautiful look at. And so it was kind of cool that kind of came full circle and they hired me to illustrate, I guess, instead of kind of doing a typical editorial due to the pandemic, they wanted to have something like an illustration series. And then once that happened, I was like, oh, well, maybe like I'm onto something. Maybe this is something that can, you know, turn into something like a side career or whatever. And so I just reached out to a bunch of people on Instagram. Ended up hearing back from Ryan Murphy, who is the creator of Glee and American Horror Story. And he was working on a new show called Ratchet with Sarah Paulson and Sharon Stone. And he said, yeah, I love what you're doing. It'd be great if you could do like X amount of images. And So based on the show, I did a series of images. But yeah, I did a custom job for him as well. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and you had only been doing it for a few weeks or like a few months, right?
Yeah, weeks. It was like 2 weeks and I had booked like two jobs. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe I should keep on this. I like the creative liberty of it because like, especially with doing the images for the Netflix show Ratched, it was more creating like a collage of images. Because in the past, like Antonioli and stuff, I was going based off of images that existed and then like changing the backgrounds to whatever I liked and whatever. But with this, I was creating the image myself, almost like with a cut and paste collage style, like in Photoshop first, like creating the scene, adding in whatever elements I wanted, and then I was illustrating it. So that was kind of fun too. And I think that's kind of a unique experience because it's almost like creative directing a photo shoot or something. Like I can create the set, I can create who I want in it, what clothes, how I want them to be positioned. So that's kind of interesting as well, because I think it can easily translate into like real people and real sets, which has always been something that's kind of interesting to me as well.
I love that. I love that connection as well, because I didn't think about that, but it's so true, because you're really curating like the whole scene from the background to the talent to any props that you want to add in.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm able to like create things that I don't find, right? Like there could be like, oh, if I'm doing a mood board, for instance, I'm like, I'm looking for the specific image, but it doesn't exist because it's in my mind, this image that I want. So in this case, I can literally like, create that setting, create that world that these people exist in, or this product exists in, or whatever. So it's actually a really good exercise for me creatively as well, for my own brand and from my own stuff.
I love that. I love actually, I get really excited too when I think of an idea and I can't find it anywhere on the internet.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, did I think of this? Or like, no, wait, it's too good. Someone must have thought of it. But yeah, it's really interesting when you think of something that no one else has thought of and it actually is good and you can objectively say that and you can't find it anywhere. It's really exciting.
So tell me, describe success and what it means to you.
Well, that's rapidly changed for me actually during this whole COVID-19 thing. So I going to school and learning that success equals either working for a major fashion house or doing your own fashion shows with like 20 to 30 looks and a big set and a big theme and all that stuff. Like that to me was success. That's what I learned was what I should be shooting for, I guess. But I don't know if it's like the older I get or if it's just because of this pandemic, I've had a lot of time to think and like not do things the typical way, or if it's a combination of the two. But to me now, I'm just concerned about creating beautiful things that are covetable pieces. Like, I don't want to just create another turtleneck. Like, we have enough turtlenecks in the world. Like, I don't need to do that. I want to really think about the pieces that I'm putting out there. And I want to give people unique things, but unique while still being classic enough to be timeless, because I think that's like a fine balance. And I just want people to have pieces that are kind of like heirloom pieces they can, you know, pass down, or they can have for many seasons to come, and not have some kind of like all the pressures of like, you know, you have to show at this season during this week in this city, this many pieces, and I have to have like a super intense theme behind the collection. Otherwise, like it's not real. You know, I think the landscape's changed so much.
I mean, there's so many huge fashion houses that even before COVID hit, like I know Burberry was like, we're not participating in fashion weeks in the way that it used to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's not necessary to be part of this world, this consumerism world.
Yeah. It's like, what is that doing for the world? That's what you kind of have to think about it, right? Like, it's so wasteful when you think of it. And I think now, like in the state of the world in general, it's like, I think people are way more conscious of like what is wasteful and what is not. And that can even be like the fact of like producing a, you know, multi-million dollar show. Is that really necessary?
I 100% agree, but I do think that fashion is wearable art. And I do think that like these fashion shows and these fashion weeks are really important because they're art shows, right? That's what they are.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the fact that they need to be all conducted at the same time in the same place as a competition. And I don't think that art needs to be a competition, whatever that might be. And we're talking about fashion at the moment. So I agree with you. I don't think that success has to be about showing your work in a fashion show at Paris Fashion Week, for example. But I mean, you've already done that, actually. Like, you've already, how many fashion weeks have you done in Toronto?
I think I did like 5 seasons. Yeah, I think it all seemed to happen so fast because, like, literally as soon as I finished one, I had to like start for another.
So coming back to my question of describe success and what it means to you, like, how would you summarize that?
Yeah, for me, it's more, I need to be happy first, I think, in order to create beautiful things. And that seems like, oh, that's a given. Like, you have to think about like what makes you happy. But no, like, most of the time we're thinking about what makes other people happy. So for me, it's like, I'm kind of a homebody. So like, I like the idea that I'm working from home. Like, I don't think it needs to be set in stone that I have to have like a studio off somewhere. Like, if I want to work from home or have like a studio space in my home, that I can have people working with me, and that's what makes me happy, that's what makes me comfortable, then that should be okay. And that should be right. And, you know, like, I don't feel like I'm following any kind of like set guidelines anymore. So my main concern is like just me being happy. I want to be able to have the freedom to do what I want, not be burned out by, you know, having to show in this time and that time. I just want to create beautiful things that people like enjoy and that makes people happy. And that is my version of success. It's just like, I'll be happy and the customer will be happy and they'll see that in my work. It just seems like something that we tend to forget. Like, we're always thinking about like, what is success? What is success? And it's like, it starts with you, essentially.
I love that. And it's so simple. And I totally resonate with that because my idea of success is just like my internal happiness. Mm-hmm. And you said something really profound that it's like, we always think about what makes other people happy and not what makes us happy. And it's so true. It's like, I think that a lot of times when people put, you know, this like 10 year, like, what are you going to do in 10 years? Or what's your goals in 5 years? A lot of it is like societal pressure. It's not actually what's making you individually happy.
Yeah. And a lot of people avoid doing things because of that. Like, they might say like, you know, I'm not going to up and leave and move to a different place because like people don't do that. That's not what, you know, people do. Like, who are people? Who cares? Like, do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. And I think that's just something just so sad, really, that we are so caught up in like what's considered normal to do, and especially at what age.
Okay. But, you know, jumping off of this idea of happiness and success, I would love to know what your dream project would be. Like, what would bring you the most joy, whether that's like your dream project of like building something or working with for a particular client or like working with a particular talent, like whatever that is. But what is your dream project?
So I think I'm kind of working on that now. And so essentially what happened was I was kind of rebranding in a sense, because I was having all these feelings about like, you know, I want to be happy first and like, I want to create what I want to create. And so I was having all those, you know, thoughts and concerns and whatever before the pandemic started. And now that it's happened, it's kind of like, as morbid as this sounds, been sort of a blessing in disguise for me personally, because I felt a lot of pressure to be doing stuff like, why am I not designing? Why am I not designing? People asking me these questions. And it was just because like, I wasn't really happy with what I was doing. So this whole thing happening, it kind of put everybody else on pause too. And it made me not feel as much pressure to be like, have an answer, you know, right off the bat. It's given me a lot of time to think about that. And my version of, you know, like what I want to do and what makes me the most happy and my dream project is that I want to create a made-to-order business. So that way it's less waste. We're only producing when people order something. And I want to have mainly cut out the middleman and avoid kind of the boutique situation, only because it's a lot more complicated, especially as like a one-man show, and kind of do direct-to-consumer. So I want to be involved with my clients. I want to, you know, utilize social media, like doing polls on Instagram, whether it's like the color I should do, like this, you know, say I do a skirt and it's popular, like, okay, I'm going to produce it again. What color should I do? What fabric do you want? Like, I really want to be in touch with the client. So that's my kind of dream right now. And what I'm trying to like bring to fruition. And yeah, I that's what's going to make me happy, to have this like company that is mainly based online. So that way I can be happy by living anywhere in the world. That doesn't put me down in one spot and make me, you know, feel kind of trapped if it's not the place that I want to be. Yeah, and be in touch with the people that are buying my stuff. I want to make the people that are buying it be as happy as I was when I designed it.
I love that. So are you going to focus on women's wear or men's wear, or what's your plan?
Well, I have a lot of people, like a lot of guys in my life asking, oh, I want this, I want this. So menswear is something that I want to kind of dabble in, but it probably just start out by being like a couple of pieces here or there, maybe like some unisex versions of things or something like that. But I will start with what kind of I'm known for, which is women's wear. And I'm currently developing a handbag as well, which I'm excited about because I think accessories are something that I've always kind of been interested in dabbling in. And then I had an idea and I just went with it. And now that I'm getting that made and developing the prototype. So I'm excited about that.
I love that. I'm so excited. I love this idea as well. You didn't share it with me before, so I'm really excited.
Surprise.
I love it. And I can't wait to get some pieces made from you.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm excited. I'll be excited to see someone I've known for this long to actually be wearing something that I made. Like, it will seem like it's actually real in some way. It doesn't matter if like Lady Gaga wears it. Once you see like one of your best friends wearing something you made, that's when it's real.
Well, I'm really excited about it. And I also love the idea, if you're going to do it, of genderless and unisex products, because I wear like a lot of menswear. And I think that this is definitely the way that the industry, is already moving. And I don't like shopping in the women's section.
No, I know. And there's actually a lot of things like as a man that I see in the women's section that I'm just like, this could easily be like also a man's thing, because there's a certain refinement to a lot of women's stuff that like sometimes when they do like a man's piece, like in a fast fashion store or something, they add a little too many like bells or whistles or like make it too bulky or whatever. Like if you're like a kind of minimalist dresser or like want something really clean and sleek, oftentimes you can't find that like at a lower price point. It's usually just in the women's wear that seems to be more trend driven. So yeah, I totally agree with that. There's plenty of things that I see, like I would wear that in like a men's version, or I've bought like before women's like coats or something because I like the style of it better than the men's one, or the color ways that it comes in, because men's is always more boring, like gray, black, navy. Whereas women's, I can get like a pop of color and like feel like a little bit ray of sunshine in the winter.
It's so true. So I have a last question for you. If you could give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
I don't know that I would have changed anything necessarily, because I think if I had have gone to school in Italy at a younger age, or even to Parsons, I don't know that I would have been like necessarily mature enough or responsible enough to really take it for what it is. But if I would give myself some advice, it would probably just to stick with what you believe. And don't let other people's opinions change the trajectory of what you want to do or what you want to design. Like, don't ever second guess yourself. Go with your gut in any case. Like, you're never going to please everybody. And that's something that, like, I'm still learning. But, like, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like something. And you just have to do what's true to you. And that's what's going to bring you happiness.
And can you think of a moment where you kind of second guessed yourself and you went with what a client wanted or somebody who kind of influenced your decision?
Absolutely. When I was doing shows, for instance, like I was saying before, like Canada obviously is a little less like, I don't want to say anything that's like, you know, it's got a great creative scene and everything, but
it's not a huge creative scene though.
Yeah. And they're not like as forward thinking. I think like sometimes I find Canadians were more like, we like something after other people told us we can like it. And so I would often second guess myself in the shows only because I felt so new. I don't think I had that confidence to like do whatever I wanted, like no apologies. And then I had like certain clients and I felt like maybe I had to, you know, cater to that aesthetic more if I wanted to make sales and things like that. So, and plus, I mean, I'm human and I wanted people just to like stuff. So I think sometimes I think I played it safe, or safer than I should. And with that in mind, being like, well, I just want to do like safe things that people like. And then that's what actually made me stop showing and stop doing stuff, because I wasn't happy anymore. I was like, I don't like what I'm doing. This is not the same designer who came to Toronto and started these collections, because I was excited and I was looking forward to these things, and I'm not feeling that anymore. And it's because I've lost sight of what my real vision is as a designer and my personal stamp as a creative is. And so that's kind of why I took a step back and was like, no, I want to reevaluate what's going on because I want to have that excitement back again.
Thank you so much, Matt, for sharing. I really appreciate you walking us through basically your whole journey of, you know, starting off in little old Amherst, Nova Scotia, and then Halifax, Nova Scotia, where you met, traveling to Italy and coming back to Toronto, and now you're back in Nova Scotia. So thank you so much for sharing and being open and creating the space with me. I really appreciate, obviously, our friendship, which is one of my longest standing friendships, and our connection and our ability to share creativity together.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I love that we have this bond that will forever be there.